Here we go. Overdrive. Off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. We got wrestling guys, right? Like JP and Arata, the biggest wrestling super fans, so they want this to continue. We talked a lot about it yesterday. Noodles, you were off. Yeah. We had Jonas in here. And
he was causing all kinds of problems.
I heard. Jonas. I mean, my Twitter feed, I tell you guys this all the time. Every time I'm off the show, my Twitter feed will light up with just what's going on. And it's Jonas and his cronies. And now give us a nickname for a wrestler. I'm like, oh, my God, they are.
Some guy just tweeted me Noodles and Hayes and said, you guys said the word cronies 300 times yesterday. I counted.
Yeah, I'm looking at that tweet. To be precise, Sammy, who we love Sammy, man, because if you're coming over a full show and tabulating the amount of times we use a word, you are a legit fan of this program. He had the tally at 241 times.
Wow.
We said the word crony 241 times. And Jonas, listen, he's a good sport when it comes to that. O's a part of the crony club now. O passed the quiz. Yeah. So O's right in there with the cronies, and it's all good, man. It's all good.
Well, I love it, but I was chuckling because I wanted to hear what the verdict was on some of the best nicknames for you guys as far as wrestlers. Like, I thought, you know, Jonas would be like something like the Nacho Libre character. He has to have a mask.
Rey Mysterio. Sure. Oh, he'd have a luchador mask for sure.
He's the little guy with the beard and the black suit on with the megaphone. That's Jonas.
What's that guy?
I don't even know, man.
I remember that guy.
You're not talking about Paul Bearer.
No, remember the guy? He was like, I think he was a little skinny guy, and he was always running around yelling. I think he was with Macho Man or something.
Yeah, he had long black hair.
Yes.
Jimmy Hart. Jimmy Hart, is that who you're talking about? Yeah, the mouth from the South or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be Jonas. But yeah, we every once in a while we stumble across something we ask for people to send in. How they're feeling about this, and you can tell there's a lot of creative people out there because they come up with some ridiculous stuff.
There's Jonas that guy. Right there.
Yeah, Jonas. Yeah, that's him. That's the crony. That's the face of cronyism in this country when it comes to sports and the covering of the Maple Leafs and hockey. I'll tell you what, Brad Marchand is hooking people up today. There's a couple of content creators in the sports world, one being Tom Brady. Obviously, and we will touch on that extensively. Charlie Weiss will join us in about a half an hour. We all have takes on Brady and whether or not we believe this time, what it means for his next chapter in life. Is he like Fox has got the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
dude, I told you he's done. I told you time and time again, this time he's done. And you actually think he's not done again?
I'm not convinced. How could you be convinced? We went through the exact same process a year ago.
I get it. Listen to me for a second. Can I have the floor?
Yeah, go ahead.
This guy is not a bozo, okay? He's not gonna make an ass of himself and embarrass himself and have the crying on the beach by himself where he had his little moment there. And then what do you think? A month later, he's going to say, I just got to do it. I got to come back. That is never going to happen.
He would not embarrass
himself like that.
It literally happened a year ago, dude.
I get it, but he's not a dummy. He's not a dummy, and he wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I believed him today because he said, this isn't going to be hard. You know, this is going to be a long one. I used that card up last year. So he even realizes I can't double down on this. I think he's done. I think he's going right into the booth. And you're right. Like, he might show up at Super Bowl. Although, is it a Fox event?
Yeah, it's Fox. Fox has, absolutely. Like, Greg Olson is preparing to be the main color guy.
I feel bad for that guy. I think... He's not my favorite analyst in the world, but I think he's damn good at his job. Mm-hmm. He's likable, and those are two very important things. And now all of a sudden he's just regarded as some pigeon or something. It's not fair to him, and I don't like there's circumstances that he could not control, but it's a tough one for him.
It is. And let's be clear. Brady is not calling the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
He's never done it.
No, Greg Olson is calling that game. And I'm not convinced Brady even takes up Fox on that offer. You know, everyone references the amount of money that's on the table, and it's a lot. This guy's basically a billionaire anyway.
Dude, he's wiped his rear end with some money.
He's got so much money. Well, he has lost some money. The crypto stuff, I think, might have cost him. Maybe he actually does need the money. I guess that's possible. But I don't. He's not going to step on Olson's toes. I could see, like, Fox is going to want an answer out of him on whether or not he has intentions of taking them up on that deal. And if he does, you know they're going to want him included, right? They're going to want him in some capacity in Arizona or doing a sit down, giving Fox the first interview post career on where he's going and what he plans on doing. But that's the next step if he is truly done. Which, again, I lean towards where you guys are at. I think it's a 95% certainty that he's done. But I'm sorry. I cannot accept that it's 100% lock. We went through it a year ago. He's still in great shape. You look at the stats he had this year. Yes, they didn't win a lot of ball games. They still made the playoffs. He threw for almost 4,700 yards. He threw 25 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. That is a really quality stat line. This guy did not go out like a disaster. Like, he wasn't a complete mess. The team was a mess. Tom Brady was not. So I think he still believes he can play. And if that belief is still there, then I don't know,
so
man.
What?
I'm
is
not
there
convinced.
A bet? Like, is there a bet? What, like, if he's actually retired?
Oh, yeah, you can find that.
Bet?
Yeah,
sure.
those they're like, books are offering it. I think it's heavy juice towards retirement. I think most people, because it's a testament to his greatness that this guy's 45. And it's a surprise he's retiring, right? He's 45 years old, and everyone's taken aback by the fact that this guy's going to stop playing.
Yeah, just say that to yourself out loud. He's 45.
Yeah, he's 45, and it is a shock, borderline shock, that he has decided to retire. But it speaks to his greatness, his drive, his, you know, perseverance, how long he's been around.
Yeah, that's the end of the line for a group of quarterbacks that were pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about him, the Manning brothers, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Philip Rivers.
Yep.
Like, they're all done, and that's quite a group there.
Yeah, the last man standing is Aaron Rodgers. You know, maybe Russ, like, he's a little bit of a tweener.
I'm not putting Russ in there.
No,
man.
You don't include Russ.
I'm not even adding Russ in there. After. He took himself out last year.
Yeah, he might have.
He took himself out of him being in that comment last year.
He might have. But you're right. And it's also, this is another example of the magnitude of the NFL, that they're going to be just fine. Right now it's Mahomes and Hurts and Allen and Burrow, and the next wave is already here. They're already great. They're not going to lose viewers. They're not going to lose interest. Like, he's been in our sports life for 23 years, and if he's finally gone, if he's decided that he's actually not playing again, nothing's going to change. They're still going to be a monster. They're still going to make a fortune. They're still going to get bigger ratings than anything else on TV. And, you know, that's, again, the magnitude of the NFL. I think the biggest possible plot twist would be a year from now, Tom Brady's like 325 pounds. Wouldn't that be wild if this guy just leans into retirement and goes,
like, he just, I'm done. Like, he does the Collinsworth slide into the booth, and it's Chris Farley sitting there, and you're like, what the hell is this guy?
I'm done. I've been committed for 23 years, and I'm done now, and I'm going to really have a good time, and I'm going to start eating whatever I want to eat and drink and do whatever the hell I want. Because, I mean, I think that is kind of how he changed the game. I think he and LeBron, I think Crosby can probably factor into this.
Right.
Guys that are so committed to their bodies, so committed to being in shape, and just have a burning passion to compete, right? It was never about money, a legacy, VIP lines at clubs. Like, those guys, Brady in particular, they're freaks. They just want to compete and win. And he did it better than anyone over the course of 23 years.
Yeah, and it's going the extra mile, too. It's like Gary Roberts was a big factor in it in hockey. He was like, I have to turn over every stone to see how I can get better with food and training. And maybe it's just not standard hockey stuff where you go to the gym and do bench press. Like, all of these athletes that you just mentioned, they took it to that next level. All of it. It was like 2 weeks off, where the usual is a month and a half, and then these guys were just right back at it. They were maniacal, man. Crazy stuff.
It is sad in a way. Like, for me, I loved Brady. I loved everything that came with him. And, you know, you're right. Like, maybe Joe Burrow is going to grow into that. Like, there is some amazing young characters in the game. But Brady was a throwback. And, you know, Belichick for years tied, those two tied. They were the villains. Like, if you didn't like New England, like, New England was like the Leafs. You either loved them or hate them.
Absolutely.
There's no in between, right? Like, that's, for me, years, it was just watching in fascination with the Patriots. They were like a machine, and, like, you know, Deflategate and Spygate and, you know, Bobby Kraft's enjoying himself at the...
Bobby has a good time.
What was that called?
The Orchids of Asia. Yeah, the Orchids. Not that I'm, you know, intimately familiar with that establishment.
No, but like,
but
that
Orchids
just,
of Asia, to be precise.
It's a chiropractor.
Yes, yeah, it's a professional spot.
Bad back.
Bobby Kraft had a bad back.
He
flies around. Leave him alone. All right.
But it just, that whole, like, that whole machine, like, the last man standing is Belichick, and so should. He's had a long career, but he might be near the end,
He
too.
Has to be, yeah, for sure. Right? Belichick's 70 now, I believe. Like, he's gonna keep going for a few years, but I don't think he's still coaching in 5 years. You know, I think he's got 2 or 3 years left, and then he probably transitions out and takes it from there. But you mentioned villain, and Brad Marchand is playing that role today in town. And I think Marchand, he sees an opening here, where he's been in the league for a long time, he's established who he is, he's won a cup, he's a legend in Boston, and there's an absolute open canvas for anyone that wants to be a big personality in this league right now, because they just don't exist. Like, you talk about throwbacks, the days of Roenick, Waugh was a big personality, Keith Tkachuk was a guy that would talk, Chris Chelios was a guy that would talk.
Pronger
was the guy that would talk all the time. He'd sit at a stall and give you quotes up, and he'd joke. Like, Pronger's, he would goof on people the way Marchand is goofing on people today. And it just doesn't really exist in the league anymore. And, like, to give you a taste of it, this is, he was asked about chirping on the ice against the Leafs. It's Leafs-Bruins tonight, and here's what Marchand had to say about that.
There's not really many guys that like to get into it. Mitch is out there talking about video games and his dog and those terrible new skates that he's got out. But, other than that, there's not a whole lot of guys that like to get into it.
That's a pretty good line. I mean, you got to give him credit for that. Like, it's a little goof. It's a shot at Mitch.
Dog.
The video games, the dog, and his skates. You know, and that's kind of a shot, I think, at the media up here that, wow. Noodles, you always talk about it. Breaking news, he's breaking in new skates.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
let's see what's going on.
Here's the thing that I took from that, too, guys, is there are guys who are wired into the league. Like, Brad Marchand follows social media. He tracks the media. Mm-hmm. He reads. You know, people are like, I don't read the media. I don't. Like, for him to point certain things out, Mitch Marner's talked about his dog, right? He's talked about video games. And, yes, we pointed out that he's got new skates. Like, those are things that you actually have, you know, to scroll through Twitter. You have to be aware of the articles being written and stuff. So when people are like, I don't pay attention to it, Marchand pays attention to it. So that was the telltale for me. But you're right, he's a big personality. Thought he was having some fun. And, you know, pointing out, I think, wasn't the question more about Bunting? Was Bunting going to chirp?
And, exactly. And Bunting is a guy that will... I don't think of him as a guy that instigates a chirp, but he'll react to something.
Oh, and he's always reacting.
Yeah, he's talking. Yeah,
he's definitely talking. But Marchand, you know, I think it says something about the way the Leafs are wired, you know. And listen, Patrice Bergeron isn't chirping. You know, I don't think David Krejci's out there chirping. There
it's
aren't that many guys that
man.
Do it.
No, it's not for everybody. But it seems like, maybe this is a little bit off, it's like, get in the league, do your thing, get your bank, don't ruffle any feathers, don't cause any stirs, and don't offend anybody, and don't be known as that guy, and get out. I don't know. It just seems like, keep it clean, keep it simple, get your dough, play your games, try, hopefully win, and get out unscathed. It kind of has that feel.
Well, you're right, but nowadays, we've talked about it at length. There are pros and cons to putting yourself out there. Now, Marchand has put himself out there his whole career. It may not be with his tongue, but it's been with his body of work and being suspended to, you know, how many times? 9 times. Like, he's a hell of a player, but he's also, he got into the league as a pest and an agitator and then let his skill speak for itself. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think he's at a stage of his career where he's done a lot of things. He's been on big platforms, and he's now enjoying
the
process.
He's freewheeling it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's backing it up on the ice. He's still a very effective player on the first-place team overall. But, you know, it does speak to what I've been hammering away at for years, is the way the big boys on the Leafs are programmed. You know, they don't engage. You can't push them out of their comfort zone to the point of reaction. Like Marchand, I'm sure, has tried. I'm sure he's chirped Matthews and Marner and Willie and Tavares, but they don't react. You know, there's nothing that can happen that will lead to a crazy reaction from the Leafs. It's just not the way that they're wired, and I think he's telling us that. The other clip he offered up, or the other quote he offered up, is a comment that I think is going to cause a bit of a stir here in, again, Toronto. He knows where he's at. He knows where he is.
Oh, yeah. He's in a big market himself.
Oh, yeah.
This is a little mini version of the San Jose's coming into town back in the day. Or L.A., where it's like, I'm going to just fire this one out into the universe and see where this goes.
Big time. He's a Canadian kid. Like, Boston's big. It ain't Toronto. It's not Toronto when it comes to the NHL. And he's well aware of that. Here's what he had to say about players taking a little bit less. Or maybe why they're so good. I think the question was, why are the Bruins so good? And here's where he took that.
You know, guys have tried to take less to win because we know that it, you know, it leads to the lineup. If you can have six guys that make lower salary other than three, it's a lot harder to play against. You know, and that's why we've been good for so long.
That's just a fact. I mean, there's
he's right.
He's 100% correct. I mean, we have known that.
It's a shot and it's a fact.
Yeah, it's a shot and it's a fact because the Leafs have three guys in Matthews, Marner, Tavares who are making a lot of money. And as many people have pointed out, Bergeron's making 2.5 and Krejci's making like $1 million. Yeah. You know, like their top two centers are making $3.5 million combined. The Leafs' top two centers are making almost $23 million. So, like the math alone in those two positions speak for themselves. But I also wonder, I don't know how calculated this was. He's relaxed there, man. He's sitting in his stall talking. Someone asked him a question. He's being 100% factual.
But there is some calculation there, Hayes.
I agree.
He knows what market he's in. He knows who he's talking about, and he just knows where that's going to go.
But
like that, there is some calculation there.
I think you're right. But again, my focus immediately, because of where I live and the team that we cover predominantly, was okay. That's a shot at the Leafs. Is that a message to David Pastrnak? As much as it is to the Leafs.
It might be.
I think it probably is.
I also think that Steven Stamkos could sit in a stall and say the same thing.
Yep.
You know, so like there is a couple organizations throughout the league that have had success that's kind of the formula. You know, so he does point that out. It could be a shot at the Leafs because he is in Toronto talking about sustain. But you're right. It could bring a small layer back to, you know, I know where Pasta's head is at. I know where, like, they have a thought process in Boston. They want to fit everybody in. Pasta could break the bank. He's a hell of a player.
He should.
You're right. But all of those guys have had an opportunity. How many times have we said that, like, that McAvoy deal is a hell of a deal. Like, guy makes less than $5 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great player.
Well, like, exactly. You look at comparables around the league and the timing of when Pasternak's coming up. If he gets anything less than $12 million a year, he gave them a discount.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's like you look at Panarin. Panarin was a free agent. He took $11.6 million, I believe, in New York. Pastrnak's better. He's better.
And Jamie, just to circle back, McAvoy, I don't think he makes less than five. I think he just re-signed a monster deal last year.
I think he's at 9.5
now. Sorry, you're right. You're right. It was a bridge deal that got to a big one. You're right. I apologize.
So what is the cap? Is it nine?
Yeah, I thought nine and a half. 9.5.
But even that's good value. Like it's, you know, he's a legit number one defenseman in the league.
It's nothing to laugh at, though. 9.5's big cake for, like, that's Makar. That's all the big dogs.
Yes, he got paid.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
For sure.
Yeah, that was a bridge deal that he took at under 5, and then he signed the big one at 9.5. But 9.5's a good number for a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
But is he the cap? Like, to me, I think Pastrnak has to be double digits. But what double digits? And how does that trickle down through you know, your organization.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know that because Marchand, when he signed, again, it's difficult to compare a contract today to when it was signed 5 or 6 years ago.
But even at six?
Yeah, I think he might be under that. I think he's at like 5.5 or something, $6 million.
6.125 for this year and two more.
Exactly. So he knows he's being underpaid. He has outperformed. That contract doesn't come up enough as one of the best in the league.
No kidding.
Like that,
and he won't get another crack at. I don't think he'll get another crack at anything long term or big time.
No, he'll be in his mid-30s by the time he gets up. And what's interesting is he'll be expected probably to do what Bergeron's doing right now. You want to stick around in Boston, take $2 or $3 million. So you know, Marchand is looking at it possibly through that lens, but he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Like, if you don't overpay guys, or if guys take a cut, it allows for money to spread out. It allows you for you to keep players that you didn't want to lose.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, to be fair to the Leafs, because they're in the firing line because of this comment, they have been consistently very good for years. Just the playoff success has not been there. But they've made the playoffs, what is it? This will be 7 years in a row. Like, it's not like they've been a mess with this contract structure. Right. Like, they're consistently a very good regular season team that always makes the playoffs.
The third best team in the league right now.
It's just they can't get through in the playoffs.
They can't get through, Hayes, and that's all that matters. And if they don't get through, those comments that he made, they will continue.
Well, if it's evident that star power, you know, plays well but cancels each other and the depth wins a series, then that's what you're going to circle. You're going to circle that. You know, you went to the wall with Pierre Engvall instead of, you know, player X, player Y, when Boston has Taylor Hall. You know, Boston had guys like that on their third line that are legitimate top six players. Like, that's where I think you're not going to have a problem. Like, these four guys will play well. I really wholeheartedly believe it. Like, but if they don't get through, it's going to be on who's going to, you know, in those nights where they get canceled, who's going to step up. That'll be the challenge for me when I look at the Leafs roster.
Yeah, for sure. And you got, again, Leafs Bruins tonight right here on TSN Radio, and this is a big game. It's a big game for both teams. The Bruins have lost three in a row, albeit to good competition. But I think the Bruins, you know, they show up with their A game tonight, and I expect the Leafs to do the same. The Leafs, generally, they play up to their competition or down to their competition. So I think the Leafs show up tonight. I think it'll be a fun game. And
well, you know what? I thought going into last night's game, that Montreal-Ottawa one, you know, there is the thought that this is the last game before break. Guys got, you know, Expedia. You're going to be on a beach, you know, 12 hours from now type of thing. So it is tough to get. You got to just get to the game because there's a lot of distractions that come with, you know, an extended break. And both these teams are looking at, the whole league's looking at an extended break.
Everyone's shut down right now.
Right?
Yeah. So, everyone's shut down right now. Like, I get that you have, that's what they've committed to. They negotiated that bye weeks around the All-Star break, and that's just been a part of the program. To me, it's kind of strange timing with the Super Bowl. This, like, there's nothing going on right now down in the States. Like, you would think you'd want to take advantage of football not being played this week, but they've chosen not to do that based on when everything fell through in terms of the scheduling. So more on the Leafs Bruins tonight, more on Tom Brady's retirement. Gary Bettman, it's his 30th anniversary today as the commissioner of the NHL. So Jerry's percentages, of course, will be taking place in about an hour. So Jerry's percentages coming up at 5:30. James Duffy will join us today. Dregs will join us today. Charlie Weiss coming up on the career of Tom Brady and what he saw behind the scenes that made him so great. That and more still to come this hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Charlie Weiss will join us here in a moment. Former Patriots offensive coordinator, Notre Dame head coach, knows Tom Brady really well. He'll join us here in just a moment on the retirement of Tom Brady. See that video of those guys driving through Vaughn Mills last night?
Dude, what is that? Is there not like Paul Blart around where it's like, hang on a sec, guys, you're not doing this?
Where was Paul Blart? Yeah. Because Paul Blart, though, I think he only worked while the mall was open. Right? I'm pretty sure.
Would you not think that there's four or five Paul Blarts in cars circling Vaughn Mills as security at night?
I guess not. I guess not. I hear what you're saying, but like this was a smash and grab. Like if you missed it, man, someone drove right through the doors, drove down the aisles, and then they ended up robbing a jewelry store and then took off. And as far as we know, like no one's been caught, which I would guess means either the car was stolen or they blocked the plates. But yeah, I guess Paul Blart was not available, man. He wasn't there.
Isn't that crazy? Like, I mean, I live, 10 minutes from there.
Look at this guy driving just around wheeling Vaughn around. Mills in a car.
Yeah. That looks like someone that's familiar with Vaughn Mills.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been in Vaughn Mills. So, like, if I got in there, it wouldn't be a smooth drive. Put it that way. Yorkdale, I've been in a lot. Yorkdale, I could cruise around.
Dude, that is, I don't care how many times. I don't care if that guy worked in that store. That would be a weird drive. Driving a car around Vaughn Mills and then right through the front of the store and loading up your car and leaving and not getting caught.
Yeah, gone. Like, gone. You know, and obviously alarms would have gone off, but they must have gone. I don't know, man.
Well, by the time the police could respond, let's just say it's a 7-minute response. How much damage can you do in 7 minutes? Like, it's a lot. You smash and grab, and away you go. Like, the people that were in that vehicle knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Or either that, like, they're either calculated thieves or idiots. There's no in between.
Mm-hmm.
Like, idiots are like, hey, we're just going to, let's see how this unfolds. Or you calculate it, and you know exactly what you're doing, and you know how much time you have for a response.
Right.
There's no in between.
I think, not to get all like Law and Order and the Italian Job type of conspiracies into this, but the Paul Blart element, like if someone knows there's no security or at 3 a.m. they go home or whatever it is, it was obviously they pulled it off. That video is going viral though, man. Like those are the kind of things where if that happened in Australia, we'd see it. You see a car driving around a mall. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that are clicking on that link, saying, let me get the explanation behind this. What the hell's going on up there? We'll keep you up to date on if there's any leads when it comes to what happened up at Vaughn Mills. But Tom Brady released a video this morning. It was an emotional video. He was on a beach down in Tampa, and he said, that's it. He said, this time it's for real. I'm gone. I'm gone for good. After 23 years, he won 7 Super Bowls. And a man that knows him very well, who's been on this show before, nice enough to join us again today. He is former Patriots OC, Notre Dame head coach. You can hear him on SiriusXM, his show airing it out. Here's Charlie Weiss. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
We're doing very well. Thank you for taking the time. Obviously, I'm sure a lot of people are asking your opinion on this today. What was your reaction when you saw the news that Tom Brady's retiring?
Well, I mean, mixed emotions. You know, not a huge surprise. Caught a little off guard, but not at the timing. But not a huge surprise. But after I was able to think about it some, you know, he certainly doesn't want to be a distraction leading into the Super Bowl. And if he gets this out of the way today, now we got a week and a half where we don't have to worry about where is Tommy Brady going next year? Is he retiring? Is he going to Tampa? Is he going back to New England? Is he going to San Francisco? Is he going to Carolina? Is he going to the Jets? You know, every day there's a different destination. And if you know this guy personally, you know that that's not what he's looking for. He's not looking to be the story. He likes to make the story, but he's not looking to be the story. So it's not a huge surprise. It's inevitable. It was going to happen sooner or later. Probably caught a little off guard that it happened, you know, a year to the day from the last time he retired. But even in his retirement, he got to make fun of himself for this time it was for real. And I thought I did find he was able to put a little of his sarcasm into it, which made me chuckle, to tell you the truth.
Charlie, the question is, and our host is having a difficult time believing that it is actually real. And I tried to explain to him.
It's done. It's done.
Yeah. He wouldn't embarrass himself and, like, unretire again and go through all of that again. He just wouldn't do it, would he? Like, I know he wouldn't.
No, not this time. I could see it in his face. I mean, I mean, all I had to do was watch the thing, and I know it's real. Because, you know, he's doing all he can not to burst into tears now. I mean, he was doing all he could. I mean, so you could tell that this time it's for real. Look, most people don't realize, you know, how these guys are family guys. They're like, I mean, does he have a lot of money? Yes. Does he have fame? Yes. Okay, but these are family guys. I mean, this guy, you know, loves being around his kids and doing stuff with his kids. This guy just went through a really tough year off the field where he went through a divorce. I mean, this guy jogs off the field, and what's the first thing you see him do after they lose that game? He goes over and gives his father a kiss and his mother a kiss. I mean, these people they're people. You know, we build them up to be, you know, superheroes, you know, something outside of the regular realm. But, I mean, you know, how nice is it going to be where he's going to miss game days now because he's such a fierce competitor, but he's going to enjoy all the time that he gets to spend doing some things that he just wasn't able to do.
We're chatting with Charlie Weiss on the retirement of Tom Brady. What was that one attribute that allowed him to separate himself from everyone else?
Well, I mean, that chip on his shoulder must have weighed about 1,000 pounds because he carried it from the draft back in 1999, and he carries it to this day. From that day forward, he was out to prove everyone in the free world that they were wrong. And I think that you could consider that mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think when Drew Bledsoe went down and Tom Brady took over that this is where it ended up?
No. You know, you want me to be a liar and sit there and, you know, and say, yeah, I knew it all. No, I didn't know this was where it could be. Honest with you, that training camp, we brought in Damon Eward from Miami Dolphins, who had been the backup behind Marino. We signed him. We gave him $1 million to come sign to be a backup quarterback, and we brought him in to be the number two quarterback. And in training camp and in preseason, you know, we played both of those guys a lot. We didn't play Bledsoe too much. And Tommy actually played a little bit better than Damon in preseason. So, you know, Bill sat down with me, and we talked about the depth chart, and we decided that it would be Tommy by an inch. It wasn't by a mile that he was even number two. Sometimes people say, well, was he really close to beating out Bledsoe that for a year? And the answer is no. He wasn't anywhere near him. But, you know, fortunately, we had a good defense, and we played to that defense, and we started off taking baby steps, and by the end of the year, he's running a two-minute drive with no timeouts to beat the Rams and win Super Bowl 36.
We're chatting with Charlie Weiss, former Patriots OC, Notre Dame head coach. You can hear him on Sirius XM airing it out. How you mentioned the chip on his shoulder, and everyone's going to associate him with the Patriots. He had such incredible... How much do you think that meant to Tom Brady?
Oh, it meant a lot, because how many times has he had to hear, well, you guys won because of Belichick? How many times do you think he heard that in his lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Probably 9 zillion. 9 zillion times did he hear that, you know, the only reason why you guys won is because you got the greatest coach of all time. You know, so it gave him, you know, I wouldn't say validation, because he was already validated as a player, but maybe more vindication. Because when people were questioning him picking Tampa, he knew exactly what he was doing. He looked at the places where he could go, where they had a bunch of skilled people around and had a solid defense and had a chance of winning. And he picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who hadn't won in years. And people said, what's he doing? Well, he knew exactly what he was doing, and it played out just the way he imagined in his mind.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously worked out incredibly well that first year. The second year, you know, they had a really good team. This year, the team just kind of fell apart. But, Charlie, while you were watching him play, You look at his stats. You know, he threw for almost 4,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, only 9 picks. He had a higher completion percentage this year than he did his career average. If he was playing next year, would he still be a top 10 quarterback, in your opinion?
Yeah, he'd be a top 10. But he doesn't want to be a top 10 quarterback. He wants to be a top 2 quarterback. He wants to be the top 1 quarterback. So just by what you said, would he be a top 10 quarterback? Yes. Okay, but that's not what he wants to be. He would consider that mediocre. That's what makes him different. He didn't want to be the top 10 quarterback. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of quarterbacks that would love to be in that category. He's not one of them.
Charlie, how do you think his work ethic and his attention to detail will translate as an analyst? Do you think that he will dive in and exhaust all options on how to be good at it, or just how do you think it all works out?
Well, if you think Tony Romo is good with what he knows, okay, you just got your PhD coming this year now. I mean, because you got the greatest of all time. Okay, so there's a lot of people that go out there and talk. You watch the game and listen to them talk, and a lot of times, when you're watching the game, you're saying, "Is that the same game I'm watching?" Because if you've been really involved in the game, you know what's happening. There were things that happened this weekend, and I listened to the announcers and say, "Are they watching the same game I'm watching?" So at least I'll know when we watch a game and he's doing the analysis, you can bet that his analysis is based on reality, not on just his thoughts of what he thinks we're supposed to have.
Are you at all surprised by that? Like, it sounds as if he's got an ambition to get into the booth and call games, like the contract's done with Fox. Is that something you envisioned and you pictured he'd be willing to at least attempt, is be a media guy?
No, I didn't really picture him doing that. I pictured him running for president. That's what I pictured him. I always thought he'd be a great politician. But I think that since I got him, and now I think politics have gotten so screwed up, I think that he'd rather not go that way. I could see where he could see where mentally he could stay involved in the game. It's the same reason I do talk radio. I mean, I don't have anywhere near the money he has, but I got a few bucks, but I don't do radio because for anything other than it keeps my mind into the game, and I don't think any way he could just walk away from the game. I think he has to be involved in the game, and I think this gives him an opportunity to at least stay involved in the game.
You can hear Charlie Weiss on Airing It Out on Sirius XM. Really appreciate the insight, and we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Charlie.
All right, take care.
There he is, Charlie Weiss. He's got a few bucks.
Yeah, love that quote.
I got a few bucks.
He loves Tommy, doesn't he?
He's a big fan of Tommy.
Loves and has an appreciation. You thought Romo was good? Wait till you see Tommy.
The PhD. Yeah. I mean, it will be interesting. Because, I mean, Romo's a big personality, but Romo's, his attitude is infectious on air because he gets excited. Watch this play happen.
But there's an impression, maybe we'll play it, of a guy that's impersonating what Romo does on the field. I'll try to get it to
I don't think I've seen that. But Romo's starting to take some shots. Like, there's some bullets coming in.
Right. It's because when he first started, it was his big thing, the reason he signed for $20 million a year, he was predicting the plays. That was his big thing. He's like, here comes an RPO there, Jim. And Jim's like, holy crap, you got it, Tony. And he's like, they did it. And it was just, people were like, oh, my God, this guy knows what the quarterback's going to do. But I want Arad to find this clip of a guy imitating Romo, okay? And we'll play it.
Okay.
It's kind of a little bit different, but it's funny, and it's almost accurate.
All right. Yeah, listen, I think Tommy, his rep now is that he's not as prepared, he's not as on the ball. But I agree with, what I still like about him is that infectious kind of kid-like attitude, and like he's jacked up. Like he's genuinely
right.
excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, I'll take that over some guy who's got no personality but is incredibly analytical, right? Who's so smart. It's entertainment. You got to have life. You got to be alive. You got to be on top of things. So Romo, you know, he's not perfect. He got his bag. He got some money. Tony, like Charlie Weiss might have a few bucks. Tony Romo's got a lot of bucks.
Yeah, and for anybody that thinks there's already like the guy down in New York, Francesa, whatever, like he's saying, I don't think this guy's going to be good. Just leave him alone, okay? Let him try to do it. Give him a year or a couple years. To say that you don't think somebody's going to be good at it is completely ridiculous, and you're just looking for clicks because it's an insane comment. Like,
well,
if
no,
Noodles and me, we left, what?
That's an opinion. I have had that opinion. I don't think he's going to be great.
Dude, how could you possibly say that?
Because
I never thought you would do that.
I've been watching him for 23 years. He's not a big personality. That's the point.
Dude,
he's
personality. When I played hockey, I was not a booming personality either.
Valid. And maybe if he's got what you've got and he's bringing it to the table, then I will be the first one to. And I'm curious to see it. And listen, I have a fascination with Brady.
I just think I'm offended. I'm offended and I'm disappointed that someone of your caliber of a broadcaster would make assumptions that he's not going to be good. I actually think that that's crazy.
Well,
I think that's crazy talk. You are Francesa.
No, it's not about like Francesa's taking my bit, dude. I said this when he signed. I said I don't know. Listen to Charlie Weiss. Weiss is like, I didn't really see him doing that. I've never looked at Brady and said, man, there's something I want to hear more about this from Tom. He's always been guarded.
He was with the Patriot Nation.
Okay.
And then he started to let loose a little bit, but it's just to say that you don't think he's going to be good.
I hope he is, and we'll see, he's making a fortune either way, but I don't know. I mean, that's just an opinion. Listen, the guy's the greatest of all time. He doesn't need more accolades.
And it's so ridiculous to say, I don't think he's going to be good.
I think he'll be good just because he just knows the game inside and out. Where I am intrigued by it is the departure from him with the Patriots to even Tampa Bay. He loosened up on social media. Mm-hmm. You saw a little bit more of his personality. You saw him get buckled and, you know, stuff like that when they won. Like, I think there's more there. It's just how much is he willing to open up? That's what I'm intrigued
by. And compared to guys in his era, in his stature, Peyton Manning's been a massive personality for 20 years.
Yes.
Everyone was like, I can't wait to see Peyton. What's he got? I want to hear from Peyton.
He's just kind of funny. It's not like he's a circus clown blowing up balloons or anything.
Of course, that's not what I'm asking for. But even Aaron Rodgers. Like, Rodgers, he's got an attitude. He's got a different type of vibe. But, like, Brady has been very clear-cut, military type of vibe, you know, on to Cincinnati. You know, and a lot of that, I'm sure, was Belichick-related. But you know, we'll see. I'm just being honest over 23 years, you know, and that, we'll find out. I'm not even convinced he's going to do it. He worked the deal out. He may not even want to do it. He may decide to just pass on that. He might be playing next year. James Duthie will join us in about 15 minutes. We will ask JD. Jerry's percentages in about 40 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
So we talked about the Romo impersonation, we have it. And by the way, Hayes, you guessed right. The Kelce brothers did their podcast today.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. What was the final tally on that bet? I don't remember.
I don't. 40. You actually said, I don't want to take the bet. There's no value I want in the bet. You can go back and listen to it.
That's not true at all.
It was 40. I'm pretty sure it was 40. Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, we'll sort that out. It's all good. But, yeah, continue. The Kelce podcast. There's a guy, Travis Kelce. Jason Kelce. Massive.
Because what? They yell and scream and like, it's Mahomes.
Yeah. Yes, precisely. Okay, continue. What do you have for me here?
Here's the Tony Romo calling games impersonation from Joey Molinaro.
Hey, we're going deep here. And Cincinnati says, well, they're going to think, well, here, gonna be pretty, pretty tough. And Mahomes says, well, that's tough. He wants that one back. Yeah. So he's bringing these two crossers, okay? And then Philadelphia's saying, well, Ah, man, here we go, Jim. Oh, this place is rocking, Jim.
It is a lot of filler with "this place is rocking, Jim." Here we go, Jim. Like he is.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, but right before the snap, he'll be like, "Here we go, Jim." Oh, yeah. And then Jim's all fired up.
Jimmy Nance. Like, Jimmy Nance doesn't ever really get too fired up. Like, he's always kind of Butler Cabin Jim Nance.
Jimmy Nance does not want to get fired up like that.
He just
probably says, sit down.
He just wants to call a game. But see, this is what fascinates me. I have an opinion on what I think will happen with Brady, but Romo we can goof on. Romo we can openly, right. Like, the Brady's too good to have an opinion that might possibly be negative.
What offends me is he hasn't even stepped in the booth yet.
I get
Can't
that.
We just give the guy five games and then we'll say, like, oh, man. To guess that he's going to be terrible before he gets
I'm not
there,
saying terrible.
Yeah, you did.
I never said terrible.
Okay, we'll take a break, and you come back and explain what you think he's going to be.
I'll give you a full breakdown. Okay. James Duffy's coming up. Jerry's percentages. Jerry's 30th anniversary as the commissioner of the NHL today. So this will be a special one. Hour 2 is up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.